What's up, everybody? This is Neil Real, and this is Let's Please God, the ministry that helps you stay right with God, find victory over sin, and live a fulfilled life in Christ Jesus. Today, we're talking about narcissism and the spirit of Jezebel. They're basically one and the same, but the psychologists call these type of people who behave this way as narcissistic. And so we're going to talk about what narcissism is, and we also talk about the traits of narcissism. This is going to be a five-part series breaking down all the aspects of narcissism or the spirit of Jezebel, because you need to have a healthy family, you need to have a healthy life, you need to have a healthy marriage. And so you need to identify anytime there's toxic people, you got to be able to identify them and then get rid of them. Can they change? Yes, but usually they don't. So that's why I say that for the most part, those who don't want to change, you have to get rid of them. Or you have to move away from the situation. So these talks will apply not only to your spouse, but also to people you're dating, people you're about to marry, all people in your life. You know, you need to be able to identify these people. And primarily, these people are spiritually abusive. We all know what physical abuse looks like, but spiritual abuse, nobody really talks about it. Nobody educates us on it. And so today I'm going to be discussing what this particular abuse looks like. But let's get right into it. So what is narcissism? Here's what the psychology and psychiatrists say it is. Narcissism is the pursuit of gratification from vanity. So the pursuit of gratification from vanity or egotistical admiration of one's idealized self-image and attributes. So they're deriving gratification from vanity and egotistical admiration of their self. And their self is really this image that they've created of themselves. It's not real. This includes self-flattery, perfectionism, and arrogance because they're internally extremely insecure. And so the term originated from Greek mythology where young Narcissus fell in love with his own image reflected in a pool of water. Okay. And if you look in the Bible, you see that Satan is a narcissist. He himself also got caught up in his own beauty. The American Psychiatric Association has listed the classification Narcissistic Personality Disorder, or NPD, in its Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders since 1968. So they list this as a mental disorder. Now, there's a split in the psychiatric community among psychologists. Some believe that it's not necessarily a disorder. It's just a person behaving badly because of something that happened to them early on. So it's not like, oh, they're crazy. You know, they need some pills in order to fix that. And there's no pills for fixing this. Okay. And I'm going to link my video playlist of narcissism from YouTube in the sermon notes that you can see a lot of what these psychiatrists are saying about this particular spirit or this disorder. Continuing on, narcissism is also considered a social or cultural problem. So how do people become narcissists? From my research and what you'll continue to hear from psychologists, it comes from unhealed childhood issues. So abuse, whether it be physical, sexual, or spiritual abuse. They probably was told growing up they ain't gonna never be nothing in life. They're a bad person. They're not worth anything. Stuff like that. It comes from a neglect of attention, validation, a neglect of validation, and a neglect of appreciation. It also comes from spoiling a child. So giving a child everything they want, but not holding them accountable for anything. And this is what I've heard often from these doctors. They say, if the person grew up with a parent that was abusive, but the other parent was like a subservient, kind of a victim of the abuser. So say for instance, the father was abusive, spiritually or verbally, or, you know, and he's always telling the child they're never going to be nothing in life, this, that, and the other. And then, of course, he's doing that to his wife as well. But the wife, as the mother, she'll try to go behind the father who's abusing the child physically or verbally and say, you're a great kid, everything, you're good, you're awesome, you this and that. And even when the child does something wrong, they don't correct the child. They just because they don't want to hit him or hit her or tell her he or she is wrong, because that is kind of similar to what the dad is doing. But it's not, it's correction. So spoiling the child on top of the verbal abuse from the other parent is what causes this often. All right. That's not always. Sometimes it's just spoiling the child. So there's no verbal abuse involved. It's just a spoiling the child and never holding the child accountable. Okay. And a lot of that's happening with girls today, young girls today. They're being raised where they're not being held accountable for anything, and they're just being spoiled and told that they're awesome and great. And that comes from gynocentrism. Ultimately, they're unforgiving and they're resentful because of what happened to them. Okay, they got abused and they got mistreated and they weren't appreciated and loved growing up. They got a lot of unforgiveness and resentment and bitterness, and they haven't dealt with that. They've buried that, and because of that, this is the person they've become. Narcissism is basically an unhealthy defense mechanism to a hostile and dysfunctional upbringing. They say, okay, I'm going to abuse people because I was abused growing up. If I'm the abuser, I can't get abused. This is how they decided to operate in life. This is when they just decided this when they were a child. My dad's strong and he's beating everybody up. I want to be in his position. I don't want to be the weak person, you know? And so they become the abuser. Here's some of the things about how they feel inside. This is what some psychologists say. They say they feel depressed and moody because they fall short of perfection. So perhaps growing up, they were told that you're not good enough. You know, every time the kid tried to do something to please the parent, they try to do it, but it just never got there. And so they become perfectionists. And then everything they do, they just never seem to be satisfied with themselves. And they're moody and they're depressed because of that. This goes all the way back to their childhood. They also have deep feelings of insecurity, shame, vulnerability, and humiliation because they got molested. These things tear down into their soul at a young age, and so it stays with them if they never get help, if they never is able to get healed. And so they begin to operate in life in a way that's destructive to other people. Their outlook on life, the lies that they believe are these. Number one, they feel entitled to whatever they want in life, no matter if it's at somebody else's expense. So these people like to use people. They don't care if that hurts that other person, if they're stealing from that other person. They don't care because it's about them. I'm entitled. I need to get what I want in life because of what happened to me way back when I was 13 years old. Okay. Basically making other people victims because they are a victim. They have this other ideology that the strongest survive. If you're weak or ignorant, you deserve to be taken advantage of. So they look for people who are weak or ignorant. And oftentimes they are deceiving people in order to get something from them. And then they justify robbing somebody or exploiting somebody and saying, well, they were weak, they were ignorant, they didn't know. Well, you deceived them. But this is how they think. This is how they justify their wicked behavior. And once again, it goes all the way back to you should have been strong. See, if I was strong as a little boy when I was 12 years old, I wouldn't have been raped by my dad. Or the same thing with the girl. But, you know, these are the lies that the enemy tells them about their situation, and they believe it and they operate in life like that. These are lies. All right. So they think that if a person is ignorant, if they're weak, they deserve to be taken advantage of because that's just the way it is. And so they were taken advantage of when they were young because they were weak and they didn't know any better. So this is the way the world works, and this is how you operate. So if you find somebody weak, you can exploit them, take advantage of them. If they don't know any better, if they can't see you coming, if they can't pick up on your deception, good for you. You get to take advantage of them. It's like taking candy from a baby. They justify this stuff in their world, in their own minds. They look at people as simply tools and resources. That's it. And they drain people of their energy, basically, when they use them. And I'll talk about the traits of dealing with a narcissist, but you'll notice one thing is once you get off the phone with them or once you deal with them, you just feel tired because they were spiritually draining you. It's beyond your time and talent and what you're giving them. They're taking something from your soul when they because they're empty inside. Okay, they have no validation. They need to be admired. They're empty inside, so they have to drain other people in order to feel fulfilled, and they're never fulfilled. So that's why when you're around them, you feel tired. The saying goes with them is like they love things, but they use people. When you should love people and use things. So you'll notice that these people are into material things. They're so in love with that. But when it comes to people, they just use people like material things. Like they have a love for inanimate objects, cars and houses and status and clothes. But when it comes to people, they just use them like resources and tools and discard them. Okay. They also don't believe they can trust anybody. Because, of course, you can't trust your dad if he's raping you growing up. If he's abusing you, if your mother's abusing you growing up, you can't trust nobody. They're supposed to be your caregiver and they're abusing you. So they grew up with this idea, this lie, that they can't trust anybody. And so they think that because they can't trust anybody, nobody's trustworthy. So they're always suspicious of somebody taking something from them, robbing them, you know, stuff like that. They also has this ideology that they can't trust people to do the right thing. And so their way is the only way that's right. Even in opinion, I remember dealing with one guy and he wouldn't even allow me to have my own opinion about something. I'm like, this is my opinion. That's your opinion. But no, my opinion can't even be validated because everything needs to be in congruent or in line with how he thinks. And I just thought it was bizarre to be at odds with somebody because their opinion is different from yours. But this is the way these people are because if a person's opinion is different from theirs, it doesn't validate them as a person. They need everybody to agree with them, everybody to fit inside their world, and everybody to be in their circle. And then everything needs to go the way they want it to be. And you can't do that to other people. But this is how these people are. Because they were hurt by the opposite sex, say for instance, they were molested by a woman growing up, their mother or something. They feel like all women should pay for what their mother did. So some pimps, their background comes from that. They was molested by their mother, mistreated by their mother, sexually abused by their mother. And so when they grow up, they look at women as, you know, I'm gonna punish every woman I deal with. And they learn how to have game and manipulate women and use women and put them on the track. And they hate those women and they look at those, they abuse those women. And they say, you know what? Every woman got to pay. Any woman that deal with me gonna feel pain. All women are bad. See, they're believing a lie that the enemy has told them. It starts way back when they were young. And so the enemy speaks to them. See what happened to you? All women are bad. Same thing with a girl. She grows up after being abused by her father and there was nobody to protect her. All men are bad. All men are evil. And every time you deal with a man, make sure you punish him because he deserves it. And so these people become vessels of Satan to harm other people. The final thing, the way they think is, I will bully and control people because if I don't, people will bully and control me. Kind of goes back to the whole strong and survive mentality. You can't just let people be their own. You got to control everybody. Everybody in your circle, you got to control them. You got to dominate and control them because if you don't, they're going to control and dominate you. You know, that's simply not the case. Most people are not like that. But like I said, this narcissist believes that that's the way things are. And so that's why they're controlling and manipulative. They can't seem to let people be. They have to push their hand, manipulate them. Find some way to cause that person to do what they want without them putting themselves in a position where they may be rejected. So instead of asking you for something, they'll cause you to do something because they don't want to be rejected. They want to get what they want, and they're determined to get it. If they got to use manipulation, if they got to lie, if they got to steal, they got to cheat, whatever it takes to get what they want and have control over the situation, they're going to do that because that's what they believe they have to do. Right. And it makes it difficult dealing with these people because, you know, nobody wants to be controlled and manipulated by, you know, and when you realize that you're upset, you're like, man, why did you do that? You know, but these people are coming from traumatic injuries that have not healed. They haven't went to Christ about it. I don't care if they're in church or not. They ain't went to Jesus about it. Okay? And so this is the reason for why they the way they are. Now, by the way, I look at a lot of studies on psychology. I've been doing this since I was my early 20s. So I read a lot of psychology papers. I bought a few books. One in particular was called The Covert Aggression. And it's about narcissism. And because I wanted to understand the people I was dealing with. You know, my first church was full of narcissists. And after that, I was dealt with a lot of narcissists. So I wanted to understand it. So I continue to look at psychology papers. I go to psychologytoday.com and different sites. And I always reading up on different disorders and trying to link up what does the Bible say about all this, you know, and is narcissism in the Bible? And it is. It's mentioned in the Bible. It's not under the term, but every characteristic of it is there. And so we're going to talk about that later on in this series. But overall, these people are choosing to behave recklessly. Long time ago when they were a child, they decided, I'm going to go against my conscience. I know right from wrong. I'm going to operate in this world this way to get what I want. I wasn't loved, so I'm gonna control people to get love from them that way. You know, if I harm people, it doesn't matter. Who cares? It's about me. This is a choice. Like I said before, some of these doctors out here will say they're just crazy and they need medication, or this is their brain is broken and it's just no. And then, like I said, I appreciate the other psychologists who just say, look, these people are choosing to do this stuff and they've built up a habit of operating in life this way. So they're going to be held accountable for that. And that's what I see. I don't see people who are, I don't feel sorry for any of these people. You know, I don't care if you got abused in growing up. We all had some messed up stuff happen in our childhood. So that doesn't give you the right to harm other people going forward. So I don't appreciate anybody who says, because I was hurt growing up, that I'm entitled to hurt other people. And I'm gonna operate this way and harm other people. That's just foul to me. I mean, it's bad enough you got hurt and then you going about harming other people just for your own selfish sake and not caring about anybody else. These people also have unclean spirits in them that are leading them, that are lying to them, and living through them. Okay. So long when they was a child, way back when they were a child, and they started believing those lies of the enemy, the enemy came in. Okay. And so they are unknowingly in covenant with demons. You know, and I've dealt with these people in particular, and I've told them directly, man, you got a spirit of Jezebel. You got a spirit of a Leviathan, you know. And of course, they reject it and they don't want to hear anything. You know, and we'll talk about the traits of a narcissist or Jezebel spirit later on. And I'll tell you, one of them is they can't be held accountable. They can't be corrected. They're proud. They refuse to listen. They refuse to actually look at themselves and their behavior. And they lack empathy. They lack kindness. They cannot see things from somebody else's perspective. And how they're harming people. They won't do it. You know, and they can't stand to be self-critical of themselves. They can't see. It's very difficult, very uncomfortable for them to even self-reflect because of what happened to them long ago. You know, they don't want to see themselves as a bad person. You know, they don't want to see, and yet they have become some of the most wickedest people on the planet. They've destroyed relationships here and there. But you can't tell them anything. I don't care how loving you come, they won't change. You think Jesus can fix them? Yeah, he can. He can fix anybody, but they have to be willing to change. But with my answer to why they won't change is because it works for them. Their behavior gets them what they want in life, even though it's so destructive, because a lot of people don't even see it coming. Spiritual abuse is very covert. It can be mass. You can get away with a lot of stuff. You can do it. And so they realize I can still get over on people. I can win in life using these tactics. Manipulation, control, lying, deception, all of that. I can win in life. They know this. And yet, and that's why even though it's wrong and they have a moral conscience that's telling them that, they say, no, I'm winning with this. This is why you can't really convince them to give it up, because they don't know how to get what they want the correct way. They don't want to be vulnerable, so they rather victimize other people rather than be the victim again. So they have the spirit of Jezebel. You know, this is what the religious sects and what the spiritual sects call this, the spirit of Jezebel, the spirit of Leviathan. The spirit of Leviathan is a little different. It's the spirit of lying, where you have a spirit on you that's constantly telling you that somebody said something that they didn't say. So you hear something from somebody, somebody tells you something, and then the spirit says they said something different. The spirit will twist what the person said to make it seem like they're against you, or it's a deception. And that's what the child was dealing with when they started listening to those lies, when the parent hurt them. So the parent is beating on them, verbally abusing them, telling them, you ain't going to be nothing in life, this, that, and the other. And they're saying things to them that are not true. And so that spirit comes in and fortifies the lies of their parent. But I'm digressing on this. So ultimately, you know, they walk in pride, they're arrogant, they're selfish, they're deceptive, they practice witchcraft, they're malice, they're envious, and they're jealous. They're sinners, okay? They're unbelievers, no matter if they claim to be children of God. And a lot of these people in church, they might even be your pastor, they might be a prophet, they might be a teacher. It doesn't matter. They haven't been born again. This is very destructive behavior, and this is the first thing that God will deal with a person if they come to Christ. Matter of fact, that's the thing that he's going to talk to them about prior to them even accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior. Hey, let's talk about how you treat people. And let's talk about the core of what happened to you long ago. See, when you're dealing with people like this in church who supposedly been born again, yet they operate like this, they don't know Jesus. They got religion. If they had the real Christ, he would have dealt with that prior to them even coming into churches and you knowing them. So when you're in a church full of people like this, when you got people like this in your family who claim to be brothers and sisters of Christ Jesus, the Lord and Savior of the world. No, they're not. They're lying. Okay? They're lying. They just got religion. They're self-deceived. Okay? So ultimately, this is the issue here. Even though their behavior is demonic, so it's led by spirits. So even though their behavior is demonic, they're led by spirits. And a lot of their behavior is habitual, is by reflex. So they don't really consciously like, okay, I'm going to go ahead and just manipulate this person. They've been doing it so long, it's just a reflex to them. It's a muscle reflex. They just, okay, I'm about to go lie to this person. I'm about to go manipulate this person. I'm about to go steal from this person. I'm about to go harm this person to get what I want. Even though this stuff is kind of like, you know, habitual, it's kind of based in muscle reflexes and it's demonic, they're still responsible for the deeds done in their body. That's what the scriptures say. So they can't say, well, the devil made me do it. I was abused growing up. You know, the spirits took over my body. You know, no, you have control over your body. You are in covenant with spirits, whether you know it or not, and you're responsible for what you do. And so this is the case with these people. If they don't change, they're going straight to the lake of fire, right? And so they live in perpetual danger of being in the lake of fire because they haven't repented of their sins. They haven't confessed to them. They haven't changed. And so because of that, at any point they die, they're going straight to they're going to hell, and they're going to be in the lake of fire eventually. Okay. And as the scriptures say, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and et cetera, et cetera. So understand that when you're dealing with these people, you're dealing with spirits in people. However, they are in covenant. So don't make it all about, oh, they've been overtaken by a spirit, and they're just this carrier of a spirit. They don't know any better. They're just a broken child from when they were 13. No, these are grown people. They know what they're doing, and they're choosing to sin. They're choosing to lie. They're choosing to behave this way. Okay? They know right from wrong. All right? And they're going to be held accountable for that. So those are my views on it. Ultimately, these people are the worst people on the planet. I've had 7 different intimate encounters with the spirit of Jezebel or narcissistic people, at least. And the first times, of course, were the worst because I didn't know what I was dealing with. And then later on, I got clarity on what I was dealing with, and I were able to combat it a little bit better. And so every time I come against this spirit, I'm able to recognize it and then do what's necessary. And so in this series, of course, we're going to talk about how to handle the spirit of Jezebel and narcissistic people and stuff like that. These people are empty. This is why when they get around you, you feel drained, because they're taking from you. They're spiritually siphoning off your spiritual energy. I mean, literally, they're empty inside. They're void of the Spirit of God. They're void of love, empathy. They're predators. If you let them, they will rob, rape you, exploit you, take advantage of you. And like I said, I've had my share of pain from these people. They're parasites. That's the best word to use, because they're going to latch on to you and try to drain you of all your resources, your energy, your financial, everything. If you let them, they'll just take everything from you and then look at you and say, why ain't you giving me more? What's wrong with you? And then discard you and find somebody else to continue on. And then come back around and act like they didn't do anything to you and try to do the same thing again. And you look at them like, what's wrong with you? Well, you're dealing with a person that's possessed by spirits, basically. A person who has decided to operate in life under the control of Satan, in sin, without any empathy or any kindness for anybody. Just, I'm going to do what I want to do because of this childhood trauma of mine way back when. Okay? They're toxic. That's what you would call a toxic person. So whether or not you can label their behavior narcissistic or not, it's toxic. You got to get away from it. And it starts with you understanding what this is. And that's why we're doing this series. So you got to know, because you want to have a healthy family. You're going to have a healthy marriage and relationships. And you got to be able to identify these people so you can deal with them properly. Ultimately, they have the capacity to destroy your life. Okay. I've had something, like I said, my life has been tilted at different times in my life. You know, I've gone through some depression dealing with these people. But I can recover because I'm in Christ Jesus. And so each episode, I was able to recover and grow from that and learn from that. And so this is why I've written about this in the past. Of course, if you go on my site, you see some of the writings about the spirit of Jezebel and things of that nature. But recently I've been studying narcissism, and it's been giving me even more insight, because now it gives me insight to some of the things of the past, like what they were doing. And I didn't have a word for what they were doing back then, and now I do. And there's terms for everything that they do. And we're going to talk about their arsenal, their tool set that they use to conquer people, control people, and dominate people. And so we're going to be talking about that and exposing that later on. So I got a lot of experience with this and how to deal with them and get rid of these people and to live a peaceful life. So my goal with this series is just to wake people up, to show you what you're dealing with and be able to navigate around these people. So in this series, you know, I just want to just give you a overview of what I'm going to be talking about in these different parts. Today, I'm just going to be dealing with the traits of the narcissist right after I go from here. After that, part two will be about who's vulnerable to a narcissistic person and why do you seem to keep running into people like this in your life. Part three will be about exposing the tactics of the narcissist. So I said there's an arsenal. They have a tool set. They have a different game plan that they use against people. And once you realize how their tools, you can be able to deal with them. Part four will be about beating the spirit of narcissism. And then part five will be about the end of the narcissist. What is their end? What the Bible says about them, the word of God, and, you know, what's going to happen to them. So now let's just talk about who can be a narcissist, and then we're going to finish off with the traits. And I want you to just think about this and think on these traits. And in the show notes or in the sermon notes, I want you to look at the list that I'm giving you, because this is what comes from the psychologist, is what I've personally experienced. Everything here is just legit. This is like on point. Every time I listen to these psychiatrists and they expose the spirit of narcissism or the spirit of Jezebel, it's on point. Everything that they're listing is exactly what happened to me. And with each Jezebel spirit I dealt with, it was the same pattern and the same kind of behavior and the same kind of tactics. These spirits are pretty predictable once you get the understanding of how they operate. So, but first of all, they can be anybody. A narcissist can be anybody. It can be your mother, your father, your siblings, your grandparent, your wife, your husband, your girlfriend, your boyfriend. It could be in a coworker, your colleagues, people in leadership are often narcissists. People in leadership and authority, And they love to get in those positions because they want to dominate and control people. So it's not too rare for these people to be in those positions. They often there. They want to be there. They got to be over somebody. Okay. Teachers at school or teachers in church, preachers, pastors, prophets. A lot of prophets, they got that spirit on them. All right. You got to be mindful of that. And you'll be able to see it once you start seeing, you know, once I reveal the signs to you. Company bosses, like I said, these people, they like to get in these positions of power and authority because they got victims and people they can take advantage of, people they can use, people they can drain. Another one, this is a big one here, youth coaches and instructors, deliverance ministers. Okay, so these are people who are supposed to be, let's talk about the youth coach for a minute. Some of these guys, like in particular a male, he was abused. They're attracted to other youth or children. And they'll get around them because they identify with them on some level. Because they never really grew up in their minds. And so they kind of identify with you. But they go and abuse these same kids they're supposedly helping. Okay? So be mindful of people like that. I think that you should check out people's background. Were you abused growing up? You know? But you want to be the instructor over some boys at a particular function. You want to be a basketball coach. You know, you want to be a football coach. You want to teach kids martial arts. Young boys in the inner city martial arts. But you was abused growing up. You got to know people's background because they could be using that platform that they have as a place where they got easy access, people they can victimize. Little boys they can victimize. Not a little boy growing up saying my coach, my teacher, my martial arts instructor molested me. Or if it's not sexual, it's verbal abuse. You're weak, you're stupid, you're dumb, you're skinny, you're this, you're that. You ain't good at this, this, that, and the other, but come back to practice again. And they keep berating the kid. No matter what the child does, they always feel bad about themselves. Their esteem is not high. If your children are coming back from practice or any kind of a sport activity where they seem low and you ask them what's wrong and it's just like, it's always, they may not even be able to tell you, but you got to pinpoint where this stuff is coming from. And a person in authority, a leader, a teacher of any kind should not be leaving your child depressed and feeling low about themselves. They shouldn't. So be very mindful of that. And deliverance ministries, okay? There are people who go into, which I don't believe should exist. I mean, you know, if you want to get delivered from spirits, you call on Jesus, basically. You fast and you call on Jesus. You'll get free just like that. You don't need somebody to lay hands on you and pray over you necessarily. You don't really need that. That's helpful if you're in a good church and you just feel weak and you want somebody else to do that for you. But ultimately, that's what the pastors do. You know, you don't need a specific ministry where a man is talking about saying, I am a, I help people get free from demons. Like, that shouldn't exist. Every believer has that power if you're in Christ Jesus. But nevertheless, there are so-called deliverance ministries out here, right? And a lot of these leaders in these deliverance ministries are full of demons. They're narcissists. And they so-called talking about helping you, but they belittling you. They're putting you down. They're using you. They're draining you of your life force. So you got to be very careful about that. You got headaches and stuff dealing with them. You're depressed dealing with them. You feel tired after dealing with them. And they blaming it all on spirits. Well, yeah, the spirits have got you. You must not be doing something right. And it's them all along. But some of them are entertainers. People have mentioned that they got close to the entertainer, you know, somebody they admired. And then the guy was terrible. They treated them terrible. Or people have reported that working with this particular entertainer is just hell. That person is probably a narcissist. If you look at the characteristics that we're going to talk about, and because of the time here, I'm probably going to break this up into another part. So this is just the introduction then. It probably have 6 parts instead of 5. So oftentimes, a narcissist is a pillar of the community. Somebody everybody looks up to and says, this person is really helping people in the community. So narcissists are not necessarily just these wicked, evil looking people. They have a front that keeps them away from ridicule from at least their victims. You know, and we'll talk about their tactics on how they're able to flow through life with a bunch of followers and supporters while victimizing all these people. And then the victims stand up and say, hey, that person harmed me. That person's a narcissistic demon, and nobody believes them. I'm going to show you how they do that. Because you've probably been in that situation before where you said, I'm going to call this dude out. This person's wicked, and nobody believes you. And you're like, what's going on? So I'm going to expose that to you. But they can be charming, charismatic, flattering. You know, they may be highly performant and produce a lot of goods and wealth. Okay. So say, for instance, they work at a job and they do well at the job. They bring the company a lot of money. Well, you can file a complaint against them, but because they are providing so much money to the company, people won't let them go. And they might let you go. These people are great performers. They're high performing. Why? Because they're perfectionists. They're trying their best to be A+. All the way back to their childhood trauma. So this is what covers them up. This is what masks them from other people. It's only to when you get close to them and when you're part of their circle is when you find you're abused and you're devalued and you're hurt and you're being drained. But people on the outside don't see that. They see the facade that they're projecting at everybody else. Okay? They have a facade. They have a mask they show everybody else. But when you get close to them, that mask fall off and you can really see them. But like I said, they're flattering. They can be talented, good looking, the clean, orderly perfectionist, like I said before. At the end of the day, at the deep root of who they are, they're very dark and they're evil and they're wicked. They're insecure is the main thing. They're insecure, extremely insecure, and they have no empathy. They have no kindness whatsoever. They cannot sympathize and understand. Can they pretend to be kind? Yes, if they want to get something. But at the end of the day, it's not real. They're cold. They're parasitical. They're demonic. I'm gonna stop there because it's going to get too long when I start talking about all these different traits. So till next time, walk in the spirit. Stay subscribed. Stay connected. Share this with your friends if you're on YouTube, or share the link of the webpage with people and tell them to subscribe so that they can get notifications on this. This ain't going to be long, but I just want people to understand that this is a big deal, you know, and even mainstream media is realizing a lot of people are being narcissistic now. People, there's a lot of narcissists out there, and they're being created because of social media. Gynocentrism is causing it. Just the overall love of self rather than lovers of God. The overall coldness in the world. There's no love in the world. So kids growing up in a cold environment where they have to make a decision. How do I protect myself? Well, I guess I got to be a cold, demeaning, self-centered dog in order to survive. And they become a narcissist, or they get that spirit of Jezebel in them. You see, the world is creating it because of sin and everything like that. A lot of people are growing up in environments where it's cold, where there's nobody there, and they're being mistreated. They're being abused. They're being used, misused rather. And this is why they chose to become a narcissist. Now, like I said, they chose. You don't have to choose to be an abusive person because you were abused. You can choose to get healed. You can choose to talk about it and change. You can choose to be a healthy person. You can choose to be a person that goes around exposing the spirit. Instead, these people chose to be an abuser because they were abused. All right. So until next time, walk in the spirit, because the spirit is going to help you to see these people for what they really are. And keep you protected. And also, if you've been harmed by these people, you can be healed. Just talk to Jesus about what happened and study narcissism. I have, like I said, I have a playlist that I will add to the sermon notes in the article. And you can look at all the different videos that talk about narcissism. It's all these different videos, so many of them. There's a community of people out there who all come together and talk about this disorder and this cancer in humanity, you know. And it's a healing process. It's really for people who've been getting out of relationships with people like this. But it helps you to understand what you're dealing with. And that way, going forward, you're educating. When you see it in somebody else, you can say, oh, I'm not dealing with you because I see that you're broken. And you're in a place right now where you're not helpful or to anybody. And it's up to that person, this narcissist, to get help. It's up to them to get delivered. It's up to them to accept that they've been wrong and to change. And if they don't, well, they're going to keep that spirit. You can't cast the spirit out of them. You can't do it unless they want to be free. And like I said, a lot of them are winning with their tactics. Their tactics are evil. They're destructive, but they're winning. They get what they want in life, you know, and so it works for them. And so it works. That's why they don't give up. That's why they won't repent. That's why they won't acknowledge their faults. They don't want to change. They're winning with that. It works for them. Even though that you can show them how it don't, you can show them how to, hey, man, look at all your relationships. They all turned up. Look at your marriage. It's destroyed. You know, look at all your friends. They left you. No, I'm winning. I'm going to get what I want. I don't need them anyway. These people are choosing to be this way. I want you to understand. I know I want you to feel sorry for them. I want you to understand them, but do not feel sorry. Okay? You can have sympathy for what happened to them when they were a child. I give them that. But after that, I don't give them nothing else after that. Because you got to be, you have a choice. You see? So that's all I got for you. I don't want to keep talking about this. Next time, we're going to go over all the traits of a narcissist. And you can just kind of think about the people in your life and go from there. So until next time, walk in the spirit and be blessed.